ask you, Father God, to open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, our minds, our souls, our spirits, every part of our being, to be ministered unto you by you tonight. For the words of flesh do nothing for man, but the words of the Spirit alter a man forever. So, Lord Jesus, may the words of the Spirit come forth tonight to touch your children. May they forever be changed for having been in your presence. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a quick word for you tonight, but I believe an important word. And I want to talk to you tonight about the underminers of thanksgiving. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." We sing that song. I don't even know. Is that the name of the song? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Anyway, it's a great song. And it's more than a great song. It's a great song that came from a great psalm, or from the word of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. In the book of Thessalonians, people ask all the time, "I don't know what the will of God is for me. I don't know what the will of God is for me." And you've heard Jerry and I talk about this before. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, you'll see the will of God for you. And it says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Always, continually, and in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It says that we are to be thankful always, in all circumstances. And as I look around the room, I know many of you have found yourself in a lot of circumstances, some of which have been super easy to be thankful for in, and some that have required you to offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. Right? Sometimes it's easy to be thankful, and sometimes it's a sacrifice. And you do it because you love him, and you do it because he's worthy of it. And you do it because he shed his blood for you. And so this is not easy for me to thank you in the midst of this circumstance, but Lord, I'm going to thank you, I'm going to offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We are supposed to set our mind on our blessings around us every day and not on our burdens. So often we put our eyes on our burdens and they become so much bigger than the blessings that he already has around you every day. We are called to set our soul into a place of peace and thanksgiving with God, our mind, our will, our emotions, in this place of peace and thanksgiving to God. This is what David did. David talked to his soul all the time. "Why sit downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." What was he doing? He was talking to himself. He was talking to his soul. "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so downcast, O my mind? Why so downcast, O my emotions? Why so downcast, my will? Put your hope in God." That's what he was doing. He was talking to himself, trying to get his soul in the right place of peace and thanksgiving. When you're in the place of peace, you're not in a place of fear. When you're in a place of thanksgiving, you're not in a place of discontent and disgruntlement and frustration. We are supposed to set our eyes on the goodness of the Lord, even when we're in bad circumstances. On the goodness of the Lord, even in a bad world sometimes, is to set your eyes on the goodness of the Lord. This is something I purposed to do several months ago. And when my life kind of took a major turn, I purposed in my heart that I was going to set my eyes and I was going to look for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Regardless of how bad things looked or how much the landscape of my life was being altered. And one of the things I chose to do was I started a list in my journal. And in my list, I was going to write down the good things that happened. The second day I had my journal, I walked out and got my mail, and somebody had put three $20 bills in my mailbox. And I went back to my journal, and I wrote down, "Jesus put $60 in my mailbox today for me." And a little bit after that, somebody blessed me with a car because I didn't have a car. And I went up and I wrote it in my journal. everything from that to cards and flowers on my door. The goodness of the Lord. In Proverbs 27:13, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see. I will see. That is not hope. I will see is not hope. I will see is a proclamation and a determination. Amen. I will see. I am proclaiming I will see, and I am determining in my heart that every day, no matter how dark it is, I will look for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I'm still alive, and there's people still living around me, and maybe I don't want to. Maybe I'd rather they were dead, but that is not the point. They're here, they're alive, so I am going to look for the goodness of the Lord, and I am determined to see it. First couple of weeks, Andy would just get up every day and he'd go, come on, Mom, I'm getting you out of the house. We're going for a ride. And get in the sunshine. Can I tell you, if your life is going to fall apart, this is the best place for it to fall apart in, because sun shines every day. I can't imagine your life falling apart in a place like, oh, let's say, Oregon or Washington or some place where it rains all the time. Ugh. So I get up and I see the sunshine. I'm like, ah. To me, the sunshine, yeah, is the goodness of the Lord. It puts a different perspective on things. But I'm going to tell you, in the world that we live in, the devil really works hard to undermine our Thanksgiving. The lifestyle of Thanksgiving that we're supposed to live and move and breathe and walk in every day. Thanksgiving shouldn't be a week long. It should be every day. Every day. And you have to be so purposeful. And so I want to talk to you tonight really quickly before I let you go about what I believe are the four things that undermine our Thanksgiving. The Bible says that we are to be sober and vigilant, aware, because your devil runs around like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. One of the things he seeks to devour is your Thanksgiving. And it's because he wants to take you out of the place of Thanksgiving together, all together, out of that place. Because if he can get you completely out of the place of Thanksgiving, he's got you at odds with God. So I want to talk to you about what really an underminer is, what it means to undermine something. And then I'm going to talk about the four things that undermine Thanksgiving. Undermine means this. Number one, to injure or destroy by insidious activity. Can I tell you? That's what he tries to do. Injure, destroy your Thanksgiving by insidious activity or imperceivable stages, sometimes tending toward a sudden dramatic effect. You're walking along, things are pretty good, and he's trying to eat away at your Thanksgiving until all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're so depressed, you don't even know what happened, you don't even want to get out of bed. You just lay in there, what happened? The second definition of to undermine is to attack by indiscreet, secret, or underhanded means. That's what the devil does. He wants to come and attack your Thanksgiving, your thankfulness to God, by indirect, secret, or underhanded means, to attempt to subvert by stealth. He's insidious. He's quiet, little by little, behind the scenes, just trying to take away your Thanksgiving, because if I get your Thanksgiving gone, I've got you at odds with God, which is his goal. Number three, to make an excavation under, dig or tunnel beneath as a military stronghold. One of the greatest strongholds you will ever battle in life is discontent. I'm going to tell you, it's a huge stronghold. Number four, to undermine is to weaken or cause to collapse by removing underlying support, as by digging away or eroding the foundation. We've been talking about the foundation of our faith, which is love, forgiveness, mercy, the threefold cord, the foundation of our faith. How many of you have seen by now that when your Thanksgiving starts to go, so does your love, so does your forgiveness, and so does your mercy? So I want to talk to you about the four things that undermine your Thanksgiving. The devil uses, that we take hold of, that begin to destroy our powerful place of Thanksgiving. Number one is fear. The first one is fear. You cannot be thankful for what is happening right now today if you are always afraid of what might happen tomorrow. So write it down. I cannot be thankful for what is happening today if I am always afraid of what is going to happen tomorrow. Put it somewhere where you will look at it, especially if you struggle with fear. I cannot be thankful for what is happening today if I'm always afraid of what is going to happen tomorrow. I call this a spirit of impending doom. Have you ever known this person? They are always waiting for the other shoe to fall. They have a hard time being thankful. Well, I'm afraid to be thankful because what if? I mean, I know I ask God for this, but what if? If I really believe in this and take hold of this, but then what if? And it's that spirit of impending doom. So I can never really be completely thankful for what's happening because I'm always afraid of what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, this is what I think of when I think of fear. A demanding two-year-old. That's what I think of when I think of fear. Think about the most demanding two-year-old you've ever known in your life. And that's what fear is like. And this is why. Fear demands to be seen. It demands to be heard. It demands to be paid attention to above everything else going on in your life. Fear is like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Hello, 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 hello. And next thing you know, you're looking at this fear and you can't see anything else going around because it's loud and it's obnoxious and it's demanding. And it's all over the place. Joshua 1:9, fear not. First scripture Cody ever learned. Fear not, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wherever you shall go. Joshua. Do you know that the Lord told Joshua to not be afraid, don't be discouraged, be of encouragement. He had to say that to him 11 different times before Joshua could say it once. Why? Because fear is huge sometimes in our lives. So God told him 11 different times to be strong and of courage and be not afraid. And then after the 11th time, Joshua got it. And he turned around and he looked at all his followers and he said, be strong and of good courage and be not afraid. And I remember the first time I read that, I went, you got it, Joshua. You know when you got it? You got it when you can tell somebody else. That's when you got it. Jesus said, there's going to be a lot of trials. There's going to be a lot of troubles. In fact, I guarantee it. But fear not. Right? Because I've overcome the world. So whatever you're in the middle of, whatever I'm in the middle of, whatever anybody's in the middle of, he's overcome it. He's overcome whatever's going to happen tomorrow. He's overcome everything that happened yesterday, and he's overcoming everything in the middle of today, so fear not. And then you'll be able to be thankful for what is happening today. Number two, envy. Number two is envy. You won't remain thankful for what is yours if you're always wanting someone else's. I'm always envying what somebody else has, so I can't be thankful for what I have. I envy their car. I envy their clothes. I envy their intelligence. I envy their gifts. I envy their family. I envy their spouse. I envy their health. I envy their wealth. I envy their poverty. Whatever it is, you pick it. You will never be thankful for what you have if you're always envious or lusting after what somebody else has. Envy is like a termite. That's how I think of envy. It just gets in there and eats, doesn't it, Kimmy? It just eats and eats and eats away at your thanksgiving for what you have. Man, when you bought that car, you loved that car. You loved it. You loved it. And then you began to envy somebody else's car. And just like a termite, man, next thing you know, you look at that car and all you see is holes in it. All you see is the little things that have been eating away at it. You're not happy with it anymore. And envy is also like a cancer. I think of it like a cancer. What does a cancer do? A cancer goes in and it kills the good cells. And that's what envy does. It tries to go in and kill, in your eyes, what is good in your life. Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy rots, in your mind, everything that is good in your life. It rots your thanksgiving for what you have. Number three, underminer. Third underminer, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. My rights. When your focus is on what you deserve, rather than being thankful for what you have, self-righteousness becomes like a cloud that just kind of hides what you already have. Because you're always looking above and beyond what is right here at your feet, because I deserve that. I want that. God has promised me that. I can't even see and be thankful for what is right here, because I have a right to that. And it's like this self-righteousness comes and it just totally overlooks what you've already been given, and you're not thankful. And you know what? I'm not going to be thankful until I get that. Then I will be thankful. And it begins to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat away. Well, that's my right. I deserve that. Blah, blah, blah. Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his master. Self-righteousness will destroy your thanksgiving. And the last one, number four, is discontent. Discontent. There must be more. There must be more. I'm not really sure I know what the more is, but there must be more. You ever been in that place? Whether it was with your family, with your marriage, with your business, with your ministry, with whatever it is, there must be more. The fantasy of the more causes you to be unthankful for the reality that you're already in. I want you to grab hold of that tonight, because I know a lot of people get stuck here. The fantasy of the more causes you to be unthankful for the reality that is right before you. Here's the difference between envy and discontent. Envy is over something that someone else has that you want. I'm envious over Kimmy's top, and I want her top. Discontent is often birthed out of the fantasy of the more that you think is going to make you more happy and more satisfied than you already are today. You don't even necessarily know that to be true, because the more is a fantasy. I'm just discontent. There must be more. There must be more. There must be more. And people get stuck in that place, and they can't be thankful for the reality that they already have. In 1 Timothy 6:6-7, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we were brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. In Hebrews 13:5, keep yourselves free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. When you start getting discontent with life, take yourself back to Ecclesiastes. I have known there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. It is a gift of God to enjoy and be content with the life that you're living, in the life that you've been given. Even if it isn't how you would paint the picture of your life, to still be able to be content, to be thankful. In Philippians 4:5-9, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Be anxious for nothing. Present your requests to God, but don't present them in panic. Present them with thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord, that you see what's happening. I thank you, Lord, that you are in control. I thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. And this is a bad situation, but I thank you that you are still a good God. I thank you, Lord, that you love me and that you are going to provide for me. I thank you, Lord, that your word says you're a husband to the husbandless. And so you're going to take care of me like a good husband today. You're a father to the fatherless. And you are going to father me like a good father today. I thank you, Lord, that I don't need to be afraid. And that when I am afraid, you're not mad at me because of it. That you come to me and you comfort me. I thank you, Lord, that when I'm scared or when I'm hurt, you want to comfort me because you are the comforter. I thank you that I'm not trying to perform for you. I thank you, Lord, that you're here to meet my needs. And what I need today is comfort from you. What I need today is provision from you. What I need today is friendship from you. I'm lonely. What I need today is for you to tell me it's going to be okay. And I thank you, Lord, that you're here to do that for me. We're not supposed to be working God out of his job. All right? Too many people try to work God out of his job. We're supposed to be drawing near to him in thanksgiving and knowing he's right here with us every day and every step of the way. Amen? Don't let envy and fear and discontent and self-righteousness undermine being daily thankful for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Or it will begin to eat away like that undermining, like it said. It will begin to undermine your foundation of forgiveness, of mercy, and of love. And without a solid foundation of forgiveness, mercy, and love, as Christians, we're in trouble. In fact, as a Christian, we're bankrupt. Amen? Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we just thank you so much. Because you are good. And every day, Father God, we purpose in our hearts. We proclaim and we are determined to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, regardless of what is happening in the land of the living. We will not worry about what's going on in the land of the living. We're going to see and be thankful for the goodness of the Lord every day. For you are worthy every day and in every situation and in every circumstance. You are worthy of our thanks. And so, Lord, keep us free from discontent, the fantasy of there must be something more. Let us be content and thankful for what you've given us today. Keep us free from envy, always wanting what others have, rather than being thankful for the good things that you have already given us. You know what we need, Father. Let us not seek after other people's stuff, but be thankful for ours. Keep us free from fear, Lord. And when we are afraid, let us turn to you. Let us run to you, our mighty and our strong tower. Let's not run to you when we're strong. Let's run to you when we're weak and when we're scared, trusting that you will make us feel strong and protected again. And Lord, keep us free from self-righteousness, always demanding from you and never being thankful to you. I love you so much, Jesus. Let us be a thankful people all the days of our lives. I ask you to bless these people, coming and going. In every way, bless them so much that they can't even find words to express how thankful they are to you for how you have blessed their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Close us with something.